Welcome, everyone. We've got our Batman versus Superman review. If you were lucky enough to see the preview show, you know we had a lot of things to say, a lot of things we wanted out of the movie. We're here to talk about it. Sam and I have both seen it twice, so we got a very, very cool show in store for you. You know what else is cool?
What's that?
Loot Crate is cool. It is. Oh, my goodness. Loot Crate, if you don't know, I'm about to show you.
Does anyone not know about Loot Crate?
Evidently, there are some people out there, I think.
That's crazy. Well, tell them about it.
It's crazy.
It's pretty amazing.
I'm going to break it down for them right here. And I'm going to save you some loot on the Loot Crate. Just for listening. Just for us bending your ear about shit that you've been arguing and talking about with your friends, just like we have. So, Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. I have several loot crates myself in this. If you could see, if I could pan the camera over, it'd probably scare you. But there's a room over here full of loot crate boxes that I have. I've gotten some really, really cool stuff out of loot crates. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. And I can tell you right now, one of my loot crate boxes, I had a stealth watch. Now, I'm recently a 44-year-old man, and yes, I wore a fucking stealth watch. And you're like, what the fuck is that? A stealth watch was a flat black watch. It was really cool. It had no numbers on it or nothing. And people go, what's that? And I'd be like, it's my stealth watch. And they go, well, how's it work? And I'd be like, press it. So they press a button on it, and it would do a little thing, and the time would come up.
Oh, man.
It was so stupid, but I fucking loved it. And it was a solid black watch. It was kind of a conversation piece.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the loot crate's like $18 a month. It always comes with a shirt. So I know in the Blazing Defender report, I talked about a 2X shirt. You know, a lot of places charge you $2 extra for a 2X shirt. And I'm like, there's not $2 worth of extra material on that shirt. Loot Crate don't do that to you. So your box is your box. You put in the size shirt you wear, and that's the shirt you get. Sam and I are big comic book shirt wearers, pop culture shirt wearers. And what does it cost you for a shirt? 25, 26
at least,
bucks,
yeah,
bucks?
25 to 28 minimum.
Minimum.
Especially when you pay the $2 for the double X.
For the double X. So, and with us being meatheads, we're double X's. So I can wear anything from a medium to a 2X. I just get in there. I just snug it up if I have to. It's kind of sexy sometimes.
I like it.
He likes it. So.
That's why we couldn't pan you to the other room.
Yeah, you don't want to see that other room. It's scary.
See it, trust
My
me.
Wife don't even see this other room. So Loot Crate, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. Sorry, guys on the East Coast, you can do the math. 3 hours, so you've got till midnight on the East Coast to subscribe and receive this month's crate. That's when the cutoff happens. That's it. It's over. You cannot get the box anymore. Last month's box was the Versus box. I have not seen the contents of it yet. I heard it was really cool. There was some Batman there was a Batman versus Superman stuff in there. There was Daredevil versus Punisher.
Yeah.
Really, I'm really excited to see what was in that box. Make sure to head over to www.lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up for your exclusive URL, and the code word is giant-size-team-up, and save some money on your subscription. That's just for listening, guys. And if you will, check out the giantsizeteamup.com. We've got a bunch of shows. If you like this show, which you're crazy if you do, but if you do, if you're that nuts, there's a bunch of other shows on that network for you. So make sure you check those out. This quest is the theme this month for Loot Crate. They're forming a party to explore everywhere from the far off kingdoms to worlds hidden within worlds with exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, History Channel's Viking. Fucking love Vikings.
Thumbs up for Vikings.
Shield Wall. Oh my God, if it was a Viking shirt, it would be the best $18 ever spent. Uncharted 4, which is very, very popular.
Yeah.
And of course, we've got our t-shirt and loot pin to help equip you for your adventures. So a bunch of cool stuff in Loot Crate, man. Go check it out. Go to the URL. I'll post it in the show notes. So That's it for Loot Crate. All right. Well, the reason you tuned in, BVS, Batman vs. Superman. We did a preview show. We had five things we wanted to see, five things we needed to see for this movie. It hit some, and it missed some. What was your overall impression of the movie?
Overall, you know, I like the movie. I think the hatred of it is unfounded, you know, and really me and you were just talking before this. We're both kind of tired of defending the movie, you know.
I'm so sick of it. You know, I swear, after this show, I won't talk about it no more.
Yeah,
because I get upset. I don't know why I'm defending it to fellow geeks.
Yeah,
fellow nerds, critics. They don't understand these characters. No. They shouldn't even be fucking talking about this. If they were talking about a hermaphrodite trying to play the violin in the Philharmonic Orchestra in New York City while he's homeless, I wouldn't be reviewing that movie. Because it sucks.
I'd skip it.
I would skip it, but I'm not going to give you a review on it because I know nothing about any of those things.
Right.
So I just feel like, I'm like you, I feel like the hate's unfounded.
It is. It's unfounded. And if I had to put a number on it, you know, 1 to 10, I'd give it somewhere between 7, 7.5. You know, I really enjoyed it. Didn't crack my top 10 favorite, you know, comic book movies ever, but it was awesome. Like I said, we saw it twice, you know, yeah. And when it comes out on Blu-ray, I'll buy the Blu-ray, you know, so, and I'm still buying all sorts of Batman, Superman merchandise. Yeah,
sure.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little higher on it, actually. I think it's, I'm definitely an 8, maybe an 8.5,
okay.
And a lot of it is because of Batman, of course. People that were worried about Batfleck, I was never worried about him. It wasn't Jersey Girl. It wasn't Geely. It wasn't those other movies he's done. He was our best cinematic Batman as Bruce Wayne, and it was the best Bat uniform.
Best suit, period.
Best suit, period. Best fight scenes in a Batman movie.
Period.
So all that puts it at an 8. And then when I factor in some of the other things, the introduction of the Justice League, the nightmare scene, just all those little bits kind of add up for me. I know I'm in a minority that high, but some people are fucking loving it. It's weird. It's really split down the middle, I think.
It really
I would love
is.
To see a poll because there's people that are defending it like you and I that love it more than you and I do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird dynamic, which is cool, and I think that speaks favorably of the film. That still people are having these debates and talks about it, which we're gonna do a lot of.
No one talked about that Fantastic Four reboot.
no one did a podcast on that show.
No one talked about that.
No one wanted to see that bullshit. Which I think it's on Rotten Tomatoes, they're pretty close.
Really?
That's
a damn shame.
That's
true.
A fucking shame. And I like Rotten Tomatoes, but
I watched that Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, see, I did not.
It was so bad.
I should, though.
It was
I honestly
so bad.
Should. Just, I mean, so I know what the hate's about.
Yeah, you got to make a drinking game out
I had
of
to
it
make a
drinking like, there's got to be something.
Oh, hell, I'll come out of that thing loving it. Though.
Right.
I'll be like, this is the fucking, what are y'all talking about? This movie's fucking great.
Number one.
It's in my top five. Man, I lose a lot of credibility. The little credibility I have, I would lose. All right, what we're gonna do is we're gonna kind of start from the beginning. And when I say beginning, a lot of the reasons that people are hating the movie, we're gonna kind of talk about those while we give our review. Obviously, we like the movie, and as we give our review on some of the things that people hated, we're not really. I guess we are debunking them in a way. We're giving you our impression of them. My mom told me a long time ago that opinions are like buttholes. Everybody has one and they all stink. And it might have been the best thing she ever said to me. So our opinions are going to be like buttholes, trust me. But I think we have some solid reasoning behind what we're about to say, whereas some other people in the industry, some high-level people in the industry, which I'm not going to sling any mud yet, I don't know what they're basing their opinions on.
You know, there are some people that I think once they heard Ben Affleck was going to be in this movie 2 years ago, they just instantly decided they weren't going to like
I'm
it.
I hate it.
Yeah, no matter. And Ben Affleck did such a good job no one's hating on him.
Nobody.
So they're like, let me take this hatred and put it towards something else in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And we talked about this before the show too. People that loved Force Awakens, they're hating on BBS for the same reasons.
Yeah.
Like plot points don't go anywhere, poor characterization. Holy shit. Force Awakens had tons of that.
Yeah.
But people were fucking, they're still jacking off to it. So it's like, wait a minute. Why does this movie get the hate and that gets the love? And we're going to talk about tone. I think if there's a common denominator to everything, I think it's the tone of the Zack Snyder film is really throws people off. But we're going to get started right out the gate. We're going to try to have a little bit of structure to this conversation as much as we can. Okay. The mischaracterization of Batman Superman. You're the one that said this. So what do you think the problem is with people not liking either how Batman was or how Superman was?
Well, you know, this to me is the number one thing I felt people have bitched and complained about. Zack Snyder doesn't understand the characters, which first of all is crazy. Zack Snyder's a huge comic book fan. Okay, well. But Batman kills people in this movie, and I'll be honest, at first that kind of threw me off too. But as I did a little research and went back, look at Dark Knight Returns, which is what a lot of this Batman character is based on. He kills people in the comic book.
Yes.
And also, you know, the DC Universe has taken a more realistic tone to it than Marvel has decided to. Not saying one's better than the other. Batman would absolutely have to kill people in order to survive in a real world setting. There's no way people could be thrown, you know, shooting Gatling guns and different things at you, and you're going to dodge it with a bat wing and, you know, perfectly place a batarang right in the cannon and you're good to just move on. It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And that's kind of the same thing with this happened with Superman. Is a lot of people have complained that, you know, this Superman isn't this symbol of hope. He seems like he's given up on humanity. He's got this grimace on his face the whole time. But I think that if every religion has a messianic figure, and they touch on that in this movie.
A lot.
And I believe that if we did end up having this messianic figure come down in today's world, you know, if he came down today, we would treat him like Superman's getting treated in this movie. You know, we would criticize him. We wouldn't trust him. Mm-hmm. You know, we would think there was some sort of scam or conspiracy behind it. Yep. You know, we would shun him and so on and so forth. And at some point, I think that this messianic figure would get tired of that. Yep. Or, if you take it from the flip side, this is still Superman's first kind of rodeo. You know, his very first rodeo was the first movie. This movie takes place 18 months later. So he's been Superman for a year and a half.
Right.
He's still trying to figure it out, you
know?
He's
still trying to figure it out.
And when you're devoting your whole life to doing and doing and doing for people, and all they're doing is throwing stones at you,
right.
You know, I think that would become disheartening.
And I we all know that the tone of Zack's movies are dark. The Nolan universe was dark. These are fucking super dark. But I feel like that leads into this realistic universe. And I think, you know, bringing up the Marvel movies, I think we're about to see that in Civil War.
Yeah.
Because now Civil War is not starting to touch on the how society would see mass heroes. Would they be vigilantes? Would they be the cause of all this destruction and death? Look at today, like, especially being an election year and everything. Look at what's going on now. I mean, you know, you got people loving Trump. You got people hating Trump. You got people wanting to kick his ass. Think about if you, like you said, bring it down a god, a guy that could burn the whole place down if he wanted to. There would be, oh my gosh, I mean, it would be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm that's the take. I same take you took on it. The Dark Knight Returns, my favorite Batman comic book of all time. It's Zack Snyder's favorite comic book. He said that was going to be his inspiration for the film, is that type of Batman. That is exactly what we got. And that's I loved it. Absolutely fucking loved the Batman figure. Superman, to me, was a realistic take on Superman. And he's trying to figure it out. When he goes to the top of the mountain and has that conversation with his dad, he was fucking done. And let's be honest, everybody, people for the most part suck. You really, I mean, we've all got some people in our lives that are fucking great human beings, and we love them with all of our heart. But when you're driving down the road and the motherfuckers cut you off and people are texting and everybody cuts in line and no one holds a door open for women anymore, and it's no one says yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you. People suck. And Superman's kind of, to me, in this film, he was kind of like, you know what? The bombing in the Congress was kind of what set it off for him. Like, I didn't look for that because Superman's thinking people are better than that.
Yeah.
So I'm not. Why do I have to look for that? That showed him they ain't better than that. They aren't better than that. So he's kind of like just like fuck it, man. And then he kind of has this epiphany talking to his dad and everything. But I love the realistic tone of the Snyder films, and I think that's a common denominator. If you like the tone of the film, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like the tone of the film, you're going to fucking hate it.
Yeah.
But you know some people that are not Snyder fans that actually like this movie.
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine, his wife, she loves comic books and everything like that, she went into it saying, I'm seeing this movie solely for Wonder Woman. Mm. That's it. I don't like Zack Snyder. I don't like his movies, period. And so I was like, well, good luck, you know, because yeah. I didn't think we're gonna get that much Wonder Woman, and it's a Zack Snyder film, you know, so whatever. And after seeing it, she was like, I loved it. She was like, you know, I love the movie, you know, not just Wonder Woman. I liked it all. I thought Zack Snyder did a good job, you know, and mm-hmm. everything like that. So, you know, there's people on the other side of the fence too. This movie's got a lot of hatred, but I think if you really get down in the trenches and talk to people, there's a lot of people that really like this movie too.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And like you, I mean, you're not even giving it an 8.
Right.
But you defend it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You defend it for what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got into a conversation with some guys at the firehouse the other day, which is a totally different fucking story. But, you know, one guy was like, yeah, it was okay. It wasn't no Deadpool. And I'm like, no, it wasn't no Deadpool. Yeah,
no.
They're fucking apples and oranges, man. I mean, you can't. I mean, that's your kind of movie. That's his kind of movie. I think, now, not saying that he and I are any smarter than anybody else, I think this is a very intelligent film.
It is a very intelligent
and
film.
And I think there's a lot of undertones and a lot of plot lines that people aren't understanding. Like a lot of what we just talked about
yeah.
with the Superman-Batman characterizations. Now, I tell you what, people that say Zack Snyder's not, don't understand the characters, they need to be fucking smacked.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me mad, because he gave us so many moments straight out of The Dark Knight Returns. And maybe some other comic books,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, really, I know of 4 comic books he referenced in that movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got the Death of Superman.
Death of Superman.
Obviously. Spoiler alert. that came too late.
Yeah, that's right. If you're watching a review show, you should fucking be ready for spoilers.
I hope. Yeah. You know, Dark Knight Returns.
Obviously.
You had some Red Sun stuff in there.
Yeah,
and then you had the Injustice, the nightmare
right,
scene.
Right,
you know, those were all 4, straight out of 4 comics.
And maybe the Earth 2.
And
maybe
possibly some Earth 2 stuff.
Possibly some Earth 2 stuff.
Yeah.
So to say this guy doesn't understand comic books, you need to be fucking smacked. Just shut the fuck up,
yeah.
Because you obviously don't know what you're talking about. Now, there some criticisms are legitimate.
For sure.
Some things that maybe didn't bother me so much, people are really fucking hung up on. And mm-hmm. that's fine. That's totally fine. But one of the things is just way too much going on in this movie.
Yeah. And that kind of touches on what we just talked about. I mean, there is 4 different comic books in this movie. Mm-hmm. And each one of those comic books could be a standalone movie, really.
Easily.
And truly. You know, and I think that really is one of the criticisms that I think is pretty fair of this movie. Not necessarily how much he put into it, because I think he pulled it off.
I think he did too.
But if you're not a comic book fan, mm-hmm. you know, some of the scenes might not make sense. Like, I could see the nightmare scene.
Yeah,
not making sense to anybody that doesn't know that that's Injustice. And that could be what's coming right. in the future.
Right.
Why is Batman having these visions? Who's that guy that came down, you know, in that blue thing, you know?
Right.
Which is the Flash, you
right.
know?
Right.
In the Speed Force. What are these winged things, you know? Mm-hmm. Why is Batman using a gun, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyone who's a comic book fan that's read Injustice knows that's straight out of Injustice.
Injustice is one has been, they're in year 5. They're
yeah.
in year 5 now. It's hard to believe I've been reading that book for 5 years. It's one of my favorite DC titles It has been for the last 5 years.
It's one of the highest rated DC books, too.
I mean, it came from a fucking video game, and if you're a comic guy, that never happens.
Right.
Like, there's no comic adaptation that ever does any good. It sucks.
Yeah.
But the story was just, it was so engaging and so driving, and no one's safe. It's kind of like a Walking Dead episode. Each mm-hmm. book, it's like, holy shit, who fucking dies this time? And there's major players that die in that.
They made Plastic Man a cool character.
Oh, yeah. And how they've taken some B and C list people.
And Plastic Man.
And yeah, and Plastic Man. And made them just so cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I read that annual with Plastic Man off your recommendation. And I read it twice, like back to back. And I was like, wow, who... Yeah. How do you make Plastic Man cool? And he was awesome.
He was awesome.
It was one of those things that was like, man, if you think about his powers, how did I not think about all the different stuff he could do? It was awesome.
It was great.
You know, yeah, Tom Taylor. Yeah, good job,
yeah,
Tom
Taylor.
Yeah,
Tom Taylor is fucking killing it.
Yeah.
The interaction he and Superman have in the Hall of Justice when he's like, you need to release my son. And Superman was like, I'm not doing it. And he was like, okay. And the rest of the Justice League is like, yeah. Oh, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked up. I mean, Flash, Wonder Woman, they're all saying it to
like
him.
They
like,
all
you
knew
up.
How awesome they Plastic all Man
knew,
was.
Man.
Best kept secret in the DC universe.
Yeah, Plastic Man. Make that movie. Tim Miller, maybe he jumps off Deadpool in his spare time and makes a Plastic
Man
movie.
That
would be fucking awesome.
It'd be better than Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, my God. That was horrible. I agree. Too much crammed in. I still feel like he pulled it off. It's a hard thing to do. One of the things we talked about in the preview show was one of the needs is the launch of the DC Universe.
Yeah.
And I feel like he did that.
Oh, he definitely did that.
He did that.
I almost feel like he launched too much of the DC Universe.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like what? What was too much for you?
Well, there was for me, I think he did a good job. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But I can see where people say, oh, my gosh, you've got Batman, Superman, Lex Luthor.
Wonder Woman,
Cyborg, Aquaman, Flash. And I think two different Flashes, maybe, perhaps.
Maybe
two different Flashes.
Could have been the Wally West.
Yeah.
The main dude.
Barry Allen. Yeah. So you could have two different Flashes, because that Flash seemed like he was from the future to me, which would make sense with the nightmare scene.
Yes.
Doomsday, you know, and so on and so forth. That is a lot of characters to throw in.
And the death of Superman.
Yeah, with the death of Superman, you know, and who knows if those characters are coming now with Superboy and Steel. And the cyborg Superman.
Right.
Can we start a campaign to get Shaq to play Steel again? Can we do that?
I'm not starting a campaign to get Shaq to do anything, but
Shaq,
stay off fucking TV.
I'm starting Shaq is Steel the second time.
Holy shit. He would love that too, being the big Superman fan that he is.
Yeah.
You know, he would love that.
Maybe better than Dwight Howard doing it.
Oh,
so,
God,
no, but that's a lot. That's a lot to throw into one movie, especially when most of those characters don't have a background, you know, because people are saying, well, look at Civil War coming out. It's got 14 characters, whatever it is. But we've been introduced to all those characters mm-hmm. already, with the exception of Panther,
mm-hmm.
you know, which yeah. I'm sure we'll get in this movie.
It's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, you've met all of them already, so it's a little easier.
Yeah,
so, for me, I think he did a good job with it, but I think I could see the criticism where other people could say, well, that's too much. You know, I didn't know where to go. Every time I turned around, it was a new character.
Right. Well, and I mean, you know, but you see Aquaman and you see Flash and you see them just ever so briefly.
Yeah.
And you know, people, I heard another high-ranking guy in the entertainment business say they were poorly introduced. It was the most hand-fisted way you can introduce them. I don't know how else you could introduce them,
right.
honestly, and it not be too overwhelming.
Well,
like, if you gave each one of them a scene in that movie, now I think you're talking too much.
Yeah.
Well, on a flash drive.
Well, also what I think it did is it established Luthor as having this information, this knowledge base, which explains how he knew who Batman and Superman were.
Right.
You know?
Because I've heard that argument.
Right.
How did Luther know who they were?
Right.
Well, obviously, he, and they talk about it, with he and the senator, they talk about it, the superhuman thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Meta-human. Or the metahuman thesis. Metahuman
thesis.
So Luther's been doing his fucking homework. And newsflash, he's a fucking smart dude.
Yeah.
Even though he's
super genius.
Super fucking genius. Which we're gonna talk about that as we talk about him absorbing the information of 100,000 worlds.
The Kryptonian
So we're gonna talk a little bit how smart fucking Luther is. But so I totally understand that criticism. I don't agree. I thought it was handled probably as well as it could be handled.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I do see the criticism. A lot of people are just like, oh my God, it's too much. It's too much. The next thing we have on here is plot points don't go anywhere. And the one thing I have listed is a nightmare scene, because I see a lot of, which we kind of touched on this earlier,
yeah,
a lot of people that don't know comic books, I heard people say, well, what was up with all them dream sequences he fucking had?
Yeah.
He had all these dream sequences. There was a lot of dream sequences. The movie opens with a dream sequence.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of that, but nightmare scene, and we want to talk about the fight scene that accompanied it too. But it was like one of my favorite scenes because of what we just talked about. I know what's coming.
Yeah.
When you see the Omega symbol in the fucking sand, the parademons.
That was one of the coolest parts in the whole movie, was seeing that parademon. When it knocked out Batman and you finally saw its face and its eyes shuttered or whatever like that.
Yes.
Man, it was awesome.
Yeah, like a lens almost, like a fly lens. Oh my God.
It was awesome.
Looked incredible.
Yeah.
I love that post-apocalyptic look of, I don't know, if I guess it was maybe Gotham, Metropolis, I don't know where they were at, and the fire, that you didn't even see how far the fire was going up, but I mean, anybody going up to the sky, kind of like Apocalypse,
on the world of Apocalypse,
where Darkseid comes from. But a lot of people, they don't know the characters, they're gonna go, don't get it, what the fuck are these bug things flying around?
Right.
They never seen the symbol in the sand. I'm taking the guys that were with Batman were the sons of Batman, which another
Dark Knight Returns
reference. So I thought that whole scene was cool. Now, it could have been orgasmically cool if the fucking fight scene was better.
Yeah, I will say, you know, I have a couple criticisms, you know, that's why I gave it a 7 or 7.5, otherwise it'd be a 10.
Sure.
You know, and one of the main ones was, you know, that nightmare scene, the fight sequence is off.
Right.
You know, the timing is off of it. There's a couple times you see Batman turn and he's almost waiting for the guy to, you know, shoot him at one point. There's another part where he was dispatching one person, turned to the other, you know, to attack it. The guy wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, what happened. The fight choreographer was, you know, taking a nap, or, you know, what his deal
maybe
was.
Zach said, I can do this.
Right. He's like, you know, I'm already juggling 19 characters. Let me go ahead.
Yeah, what's a fight scene?
Yeah,
man?
I got this man.
Easy.
But
I agree. There's definitely a scene where he's taking the gun and he's like hitting the guy with the butt of it and he's getting ready to swing around. And there's a dude already pointing a gun at him, waiting on Batman to hit him. I'm like, dude, you could have pumped 6 rounds in him.
Yeah.
He'd been dead already. But I love that nightmare Batman look, kind of like it's a throwback to the Sons of Batman, or
Red Sun. And
he's
so angry looking, which was just awesome.
Oh, it's
awesome.
When the Sons of Superman, I guess, start shooting his guys and he's like, no, and starts kicking. I was like, oh my God. So I kind of overlooked the shitty choreography, which is weird for me because that's big. And I know it's big for you, too.
Yeah, for sure.
But a fucking great scene. And like I said, you know what's coming. The whole Superman walking in and just lighting the dudes up. I was like, holy shit.
When people didn't understand why those soldiers had the Superman symbols, you know, on their shoulders of the uniforms and stuff. And that's, like I said, that's stuff that, if you don't know those stories, I could see where that would throw you off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that might be.
Well, and he tells Batman, she was my world.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and like, this is my theory, and I'm throwing this out there, because me and you talked about this after the movie we've seen the second time. Apocalypse comes down. I think it's going to be kind of like an Injustice. I'm sorry, I said Apocalypse.
Yeah, Dark Side.
Dark Side comes down. It's going to be kind of like a Superman bat or a Superman apocalypse or shit, Darkseid thing. He's going to take out Darkseid. Somewhere along the line, whether it's a Batman plan or something, Lois gets killed.
Yeah.
Superman holds Batman responsible, plus goes off the fucking rails like he does in Injustice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be maybe Batman has a choice to make. It has a chance to save Lois or something else and chooses.
Or the greater good.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. He chooses the greater good over saving Lois, the one person or something like that.
Yeah.
And Superman just completely flips his shit.
Flips his shit.
And I think they've been setting that up with, you remember Man of Steel, Superman completely losing his temper when Zod starts fucking with his mom and he takes him and goes through the cornfield and
yes.
stuff. And then this one, when Luther confronts him, you know, on that balcony,
yes.
and Superman lights up, you know, his eyes and just go, you know, completely lose his temper. I think that's
yeah.
Snyder setting up this long game
right.
for
right.
for Superman
it's
to just
long game.
Flip his shit when
well,
something happens
and
to Lois.
And I also think the whole, his epiphany with Kevin Costner, his dad,
right.
I think that leads into the whole Lois thing, too, because he sits there and says, like, yeah, humanity sucks, life sucks, but I had, my world was your mom.
Yep.
And that's, his world is Lois.
Well, and if you think, you know, the other thing that I thought a lot of people overlook, but I think is big in that setup that Snyder did was, you know, Luther throws Lois off the balcony, Superman catches her, puts her on the ground, then comes up there, and Luther says something about, you know, the woman in your life, and blah, 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 and Superman kind of laughs, is like, she's already safe on the ground. And he's like, haha, no, every boy's, you know, main lady's his mother or whatever.
Right, right.
Superman, the first chick he thought of was Lois.
Not his mom.
And his temper's that bad for his mom. So think about where his temper would go for Lois.
Lose his
you
shit,
know?
Man.
Yeah.
He's gonna lose
his think
shit.
That's. I think Snyder's done so much of setting up the long end game in this movie, and people just aren't getting that.
They're not getting it.
This is going to be like one of those comic books, you know, that's written for, you know,
six issues.
Yeah, written for the arc, written
right.
for the run.
Right.
And when you put it all together, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this
we
is a movie.
We should have seen this coming.
I think this is a movie that once we see Justice League 1 and 2, and, you know, if Batman ties into it, whatever right. else, it's going to be even better than we're already looking
right.
at.
I totally agree. And again, it brings me back, just talking about it, brings me back to Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You know, a movie should be able to stand on its own. And there's a great argument that says, well, you said a movie should stand on its own, but I still think this does.
Oh, I think it does.
Whereas Force Awakens, people are just kind of sweeping some of these plot points under the rug because they know we've got two more movies. Oh, you're going to see why R2-D2 just turned on. You're going to see the Knights of Ren and what they're all about. You're going to see all that. Okay, I hope so because, you know, we could go back on that trilogy after all of them are done and look at Force Awakens and go, oh, and it's going to be a better movie.
Yeah.
I think this was already a good movie,
yeah.
and it's setting everything up. And like you said, it's a long game. We could be looking at Justice League 2 shit in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I think we
Very
are.
Very well. I think we are. And if so, man, that's – I hope a lot of people end
and,
up
– And I still think – I think – Suicide Squad is going to tie into this movie.
I think it's got to.
I think it is, you know, and
well, Batman's in it too.
Yeah,
so.
Batman's in a little part of it, you know, and I think this Batman solo movie, whenever they do whatever they're going to do with that, I think that's going to tie into it too.
Ben Affleck has already written the script for it, and everybody's saying it's a really cool take, a really cool idea for the Batman.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going to be something we haven't seen before.
And I think the Wonder Woman movie's going to tie into it, too. I think it's going to play into that old picture, that 1918 or whatever with
yeah.
you know, with Steve Trevor and
that
stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's set up 4, 5, 6 years worth of
movies
with this movie.
Tough
and,
to do.
Yeah, and with what you're saying with the Star Wars movie, we know – I was not a fan of Force Awakens.
No, I didn't like it,
you know. And I think this movie is a good movie and does stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's Batman
yes.
versus Superman. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I think it will be even more enhanced by once we see the rest of these movies.
Yes.
I think Force Awakens did not stand on its own. I think it has to have these other things to explain it.
I agree.
And totally agree. So that's my problem with how are you going to love The Force Awakens and say, you know, oh, it's great. this will be revealed. And then you look at this movie and say, this had too much in it. But everything in this movie was explained.
Yeah.
I think you're just going to get more of it.
Yeah. So I was listening to the Empire's podcast where they were talking to Zack Snyder and some of the producers, and they were talking about, just going back to the characterization just for a second, because I feel like this is an important point of the Batman movies, and they said they wanted a Batman. You've seen the Michael Keaton Batman. You've seen the George Clooney Batman. Maybe you didn't see it.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully you didn't see it. You didn't miss anything.
Arnold was awesome.
You know, when Carrey was awesome.
When Arnold feels like he has to ham something up, you know it's going to be a bad movie.
It's going
to
be bad.
When Arnold's like, I better ham this up.
Yeah, it's like, terrible. What the fuck? That was just a bad movie. When they put nipples on the suit, they should have fucking burned it all down.
Yeah.
But they wanted to give a different type of Batman that no one had seen yet. We've already seen the Bale Batman, which is slightly darker. But they wanted something different. They wanted something to separate it from the Nolanverse, which we talked about in our preview show that they kind of needed to do.
Yeah, and they definitely did.
And they definitely did that. But I just wanted to point that out, that ain't something we're making up. That, I mean, the producers, that's what they were going for.
We kind of know what we're talking about.
Every blue moon
we try.
A dog finds his ass every once in a while. All right, the plot points don't go anywhere. Talked about that. Eisenberg's portrayal of Luthor. I've seen people say, holy shit, the best Luthor ever. And then I've heard people say, what the fuck was that guy doing?
I loved it.
I thought I liked it too.
Yeah, I think Ben Affleck's Batman was the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. And Eisenberg's Luthor was a pretty close second. I loved it.
I did too.
People were like, oh, you know, he was psychotic, you know. Some people were calling him Joker-esque, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, my thing is, if you were a super genius, if you're on, you know, this planet, and you grasp way more than almost fucking everybody, and you've got more money than almost fucking everybody, really and truly, I think you probably would be a little psychotic.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. We really don't see him becoming unhinged until he's at his party and he gives his speech and he kind of gets his words twisted and you see it for just a moment.
What about when he gets mad at himself? He's like, that's fucking paradoxical.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when he's giving his speech, like, he starts having a conversation with himself while he's giving his speech about his party, and it's like, holy shit. I would think a super genius like that is going to have moments where they're in this reality and in another one all at the same time. Yeah. So I'm with you. Now you have a theory about Luthor.
Yeah, I really think that this isn't the first Luthor, you know. And they mentioned his dad so much.
It was weird.
They walk in when he's playing basketball. They're like, oh, nice to meet the man on the marquee. And he's like, no, that was my dad, Lex. He put his name up there, you know. And they mention his dad constantly. This is my dad's room. This is my dad's painting with the devil in it, you know, and so on and so forth.
My dad grew up in Eastern Germany,
Eastern Europe.
Somewhere out there.
And he had
to make reference to that.
Yeah, he had to, you know, every other Saturday or whatever, be in that parade and all that stuff. They talked about him way too much for it not to be something. And I think that might be your standard egotistical super genius Luthor that we're used to seeing. And this is his son, you know. And his son even says, you know, where was God when I was getting beat by my dad, you know, and abused and so on and so forth, when he's talking to Superman. I think the original Luthor has kind of created this new super genius kind of psychotic Luthor. You know, and you know, being an abuse victim, you would see him get mad at himself when he screws up, like in that speech, you know.
Right, right.
You know, oh, stupid, you know. And that's what you see a lot of times, you know.
And there's also, he also makes reference to where was Superman at when, from my dad's fist and his abominations? Was that what?
Something abominations, but not Superman, just God in
general.
No.
Yeah, like God in general.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a bomb. What the fuck is he talking about?
Right.
What was he subjected to as a kid?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
I think this is not the first Luthor.
That's a pretty cool. And I never thought about any of that until you said. And I did think it was weird. Like, once you said that, I was like, they did mention his dad an awful
lot.
Like, weirdly. You know what I mean? Like, it's obviously not just again, setting up something for future movies, yeah. I think. But I thought he was great. It was a Luthor we haven't seen. Okay, so you like Kevin Spacey's Luthor? Stop it.
Oh, my gosh. That was...
You liked...
And I like Kevin Spacey.
I love Kevin Spacey.
But that movie sucked.
Yeah, that movie sucked. Yeah. Not because of Kevin Spacey. The movie was just bad.
Right, just a terrible movie.
What was the other? Gene Hackman? Was Gene Hackman Luthor in the original movies? You know, it that was what it was. Say what you want. I think Eisenberg's Luthor was the best Luthor we've seen.
Yeah, I'm with that.
That was, love it or hate it, it is what it is, but I think it's going to play more into it as the movies progress. Intro into the JLA, ham-fisted, we talked about that. All right, now this is something we both agree on this wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I know what's coming.
Wonder Woman stole the movie.
Come on, stop that.
Stop it.
If it was Wonder Man, if that was a man, no one would have said anything about it.
No one would have said shit about it. And now, we're not trying to be sexist. We are meatheads, and that is kind of expected. But we're just calling it like we see it. Now, all disclosure, 100% transparency, I fucking loved her entrance.
Oh, I thought she was fantastic. Fucking don't get
fantastic.
Me wrong.
And I need to apologize to Gal Gadot
or something.
Whatever.
Like that.
It's weird. You're hot as fuck. But I always said she don't have the bone structure to play this role. They could have got somebody that
so
just looked
the
like
Fast
they could punch
furious.
Somebody.
Yeah, so
yeah,
thin.
Yeah. Shit, all that was gone the moment I seen her in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, I'm wrong.
She
I'm so glad I'm wrong.
Great as Diana Prince, too. You know, dressed up hairpin
holy
back
shit.
And stuff. She nailed it.
Nailed it. You nailed know? It.
And the cat and mouse game with her and Bruce Wayne was awesome.
Yeah, now let me, I want to talk about that for a minute. This is something we haven't discussed.
Okay.
She's obviously been around a long fucking time.
Yeah.
So she's pretty wise, pretty smart, obviously. How did she know? Did she know that Bruce was Batman?
I don't think she did quite at that point, but it sure seems later like she does.
Well, like, how did she know that, like, when he first sees her at the Luther party, mm-hmm. when Clark and Bruce first meet?
Right.
Which, for everybody that was wondering, Luthor did know the identities of both Clark and Bruce at that point. The producer said that in the Empire podcast. So, but how did she looks at Bruce, like, gives him the fuck me eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe she just wanted to fuck him.
He probably had a stealth watch on. That's what did
she
it.
She was like, is that a stealth watch?
He was like,
wearing?
Check this out, Diana.
Hey, Gail, I can get you hooked up on Loot Crate.
Loot Crate, stealth watch.
See, we're still doing it, Loot Crate. We're still plugging you. Yeah, so I was kind of like, does she know? When Bruce goes to hack the thing, mm-hmm. she gets it.
Yeah.
So it's like, how did she know Bruce was going to hack it?
I felt like she knew something was up with Bruce Wayne, uh-huh. you know? I don't know if it was body language or, you know, she just kind of followed him and saw him just walk off in the middle of the speech and stuff like that. So I think she thought something was up with it, but I didn't quite think she thought he was Batman yet. Not until he sent her that email and everything.
Okay. You know, something I just thought about.
That's just my...
I just now thought of this. Epiphany on the show. This has never happened. maybe she's got super hearing.
I kind of was thinking that, too. I don't know the Wonder Woman character quite that well.
I don't either. I mean, we know Clark does, because Clark was hearing the transmission between him and Alfred. So maybe she did. It was kind of like, what's this motherfucker doing?
Yeah, or maybe she was, you know, picking up on the way Clark was looking at Bruce or something.
Could have
been,
so, that could have been. Yeah, not a big deal. I was just kind of like, how she's so slick?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
She pretty damn slick. And she got the transmitter, whatever, the transponder back in Bruce's car.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the glove box, motherfucker. I ain't steal shit. You
right.
know, that
I just
was cool.
borrowed it.
Every scene she had was great. She looked phenomenal. Stole the show. Stop it. If anybody stole the show, Ben Affleck stole the show. The fight scene in the building where he took out the Russian mobsters. Best scene in the movie. Now, I know people are going to say, I seen it. I seen it all in the trailer.
Parts of it.
You seen parts of it in the trailer.
Yeah.
And supposedly in the rated R cut, we get even more of it.
Which I can't wait for.
I cannot fucking wait for. Did you see there's a petition online? It's already got like 20,000 signatures to release it for a theatrical release.
Oh, I'll sign that.
Yeah. And then my next tweet that I retweeted from a guy was, he's got a petition to stop people from doing petitions.
I'll sign that.
I'll sign that one too. Yeah. I think I did. I was like, hey, that's pretty fucking good too. Yeah, right. Shut the fuck up, people. Then, you know, but I would love to see it in a theater like it was meant to be seen.
Oh, yeah.
3+ hours. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I never felt like this movie was 2.5 hours long. Did
no,
you?
No, not at all. And I mean, if you could sit through three hours of the fucking Titanic sinking, you can watch Batman kick some extra ass.
Yeah,
you know what
no
I mean?
Shit.
So people just need to stop, you know?
People need to stop. The hate needs to fucking stop. But Wonder Woman was fucking fantastic.
She was
the
great.
Music,
there was
the music
man,
that played.
The fucking war drums. There was awesome. It was straight. It felt like she was straight out of the 300, you know? Those
yeah,
war
you,
drums.
Yeah, you said
she
that right after.
And it goes at, you know, Doomsday like that. You know, that was awesome. Oh, there was nothing. I don't want people to confuse my statement. There was nothing that could have been better about Wonder Woman. She was awesome.
Awesome.
But she did not steal the show. And no. If it was Wonder Man, no one would have said anything about it.
You're right.
At all.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Can't wait for the solo movie.
Yeah, I'll definitely see
love
it first
Chris
night.
Pine,
you know,
don't
get me wrong. I'll be there.
Oh, I'll be there. Yeah.
Did you see Chris Pine was in that picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Oh, that was fucking great. That picture actually surfaced a while back.
Oh, did I had never
yeah.
seen it.
Yeah. Well, everybody thought they were shooting the Wonder Woman movie somewhere when they seen the picture.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, when I seen that picture on the screen, I was like, fuck, I've seen that picture before, because Pine's in that outfit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's very cool. Very excited for the Wonder Woman. She's going to be fucking fantastic, and she's hot as balls. Too much into trailers. I've heard that criticism. And if I can 100% agree with one criticism, it is that. But as we were talking earlier, two years they've been pumping this movie.
Yeah.
You got to keep people interested with the trailers. Trailers get people excited. They make you want to go see the movie. But they need to hold back just a little bit.
A little bit. You know, I would have liked, instead of seeing so much of the Batman, Superman fight in the trailers, you know, you see Batman take him down through the roof,
yes.
You know, and all that different
That's
stuff.
That's an excellent point.
You know,
yes.
Maybe just show where Superman rips the doors off the Batmobile. They stand chest to chest, or even Batman blocking the one punch. You can keep
That's
that in
enough.
There. That's cool.
That's
Don't
enough.
Give me more, because then it's going to have that impact when I see it in the theater. And in this, it did, but it didn't have as much as it could have.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. I tell you, I remember, and you probably do too. I remember the days where, and I'm definitely dating myself. Where you didn't have the internet,
right?
You might have not even seen a trailer on TV for a movie that your parents took you to see, and you were like, what the fuck? Braveheart is probably one of my all-time favorite movies. Like, if I had to pick a movie out of everything, it might be number one.
Okay.
I was dating a girl. I was in Chicago. We had dinner with her parents. They're like, let's go see a movie. And they're like, let's go see this Braveheart. And I'm like, oh, okay, I like movies. Let's go. And I was like, oh my God, this is the fucking greatest thing I've ever fucking seen.
Right.
Didn't know nothing about it. Had no clue. Didn't ever see a scene, not one thing. And I think now, like, what would Batman Superman have been if you hadn't seen a fucking thing?
Right. I want to take a quick second to say that, you know, Braveheart's a great movie and everything like that, but also, fuck you, Mel Gibson. I do want to say
that's
that.
That's true. Sorry.
Sorry, I just want to say that.
That's the Jewish side coming out.
Yeah,
saying,
sorry.
He's defending his religion. That's cool. We want people to express themselves on the show, no matter who's on.
Fuck you, Mel Gibson.
So fuck you, Mel Gibson. But Braveheart was fucking awesome.
It was a good movie.
I loved it.
And I love that Lethal Weapon 4 gave us our first taste of Jet Li, so...
Yeah,
he's contributed us something in America, but fuck him still.
Yeah,
but back to your point, for sure. I mean, it would have had so much more of an impact. I mean, just think about if in the trailer you had seen Batman riding on the Batwing, Alfred like, I'm going to drop you off on the second floor. He crashes through the window, and that's it. And now you see this whole fight scene in the theater.
Oh, my God. I'd have lost my shit.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm saying.
I'd have
lost
my shit.
Yeah.
And, God, that fight scene was great. And There's so much of it you didn't see in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely didn't see the whole thing. No. But still, I didn't even want to see that much of it.
No, no. Yeah, they show too much. I tried, like, the Civil War coming up. I don't think we're going to get well, there's a TV spot. I just posted on blazingdefenderreport.com. It's a TV spot, and it's got new footage in it.
Yeah, I saw it today.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
There's a scene with, like, Hawkeye and Black Widow at the end of it. Very cool. Yeah. You know, they're like, it depends on how hard you hit me. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, shit, well, I fucking don't want to see this shit.
Yeah. Well, I think Civil War has nailed it in the sense that, like, you know, like I said last show, Black Panther, Winter Soldier are two of my favorite characters. And you see the scene where, you know, Winter Soldier's ripping through on the motorcycle. Panther, boom, 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 chases him, grabs him, they fall off the motorcycle. Well, you know they're about to fight, but they don't show that.
Right.
You know,
right.
They take you to it, right. And then they hold back. And that's what Batman and Superman should have done.
Yeah.
Show Batman and Superman chest to chest, take you to it, don't give me the rest of it. Right. Show them block the punch, and then let it go.
Let it go, whatever.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, when I remember seeing those trailers, I was so pumped.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But the thing is,
would I have been pumped anyway?
Yeah. Are you not going to see it if you didn't see that? No. You still would have been there.
I'm about all of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they're not marketing it just for us.
No, they're not.
They're trying to market to our girlfriends.
Right.
You know, not saying that would have got you to go, right, but got them to go.
Yeah, they're not going to see Superman, Batman fight each other. That's my thing is I don't think that as cool as those fight scenes were in the trailer, as pumped as we got, I don't really think that brought anyone else to the theater. Right. I don't think anyone was like, man, I'm on the fence as Batman, Superman. Oh, but now that I saw that little bit of that trailer, I'm there. You know, I just don't think it worked that way this time.
No, I totally agree. So, DC, get your fucking shit straight.
Yeah, for Justice League and everything coming up, just give us a little less in the trailer.
Give us a little less. Okay. The Suicide Squad trailer's been good. I don't think they've really revealed. I hope not.
No. Yeah.
I'd be mad as fuck.
That's a short movie.
That trailer
with Queen playing in the background, you nailed it.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, nailed it. How awesome is that? Yeah. I love it. That's a great one.
And they did a good job with just kind of cameoing, you know, Aquaman and Flash and everyone. Do that in the trailers. You know, not that. But just cameo what we're going to see in the movie.
Yeah,
you know?
They gave us a couple scenes of Joker, gave us some Harley, gave us some Boomerang.
And there was even mystery
I mean?
With the Joker. You know, I want to know who that guy is that he keeps screwing with, saying, you know, I'm just going to hurt you bad. And then you see the guy on the table, you keep seeing just kind of this. You don't see his face. I want to know who that is.
Yeah, I want to know who that is.
So you've created intrigue for me now.
Right, and that's the job of a trailer.
Right.
Create intrigue, make you want to see more. Don't give away all the goods. It's like, okay, my wife didn't watch the show, so I can say this shit. Like, you see a chick with, like, some big old titties, okay? You really want to see those titties.
Right.
Now, as a guy that's seen some titties, after I've seen them once, I've seen them.
Yeah.
I'm not as intrigued by them anymore.
Yeah.
But until I see them the first time, I really, really want to see them.
Girls, I think, in general, can we do a little life lesson thing here?
Absolutely.
Girls in general, don't give it away so easily.
Don't give it away.
The hunt is important for guys.
We're hunters.
Yeah, we are hunters. And the thing is, if you make us work just not too much, come on now.
No, we don't want to work hard.
Right. Make us work a little bit to get it.
A little bit.
It's so much better. That intrigue is there.
Yes.
Plus, we feel like we accomplished something, you know, with our day. You know, like,
even though deep down we know we didn't do shit, but we still feel like we hunted, we conquered, we ate, now we go to sleep.
It was a good Thursday.
It was a good Thursday.
Know? If you just come up and like, hey, I'm going to give it to you, and you just come back to the house, it's like,
yeah, it's like
you didn't give me anything to look forward to, you know?
That's a little meathead.
A little meathead philosophy for you.
Hey, just, you know, you call it what you want. It's shit's true.
Yeah,
there's guys in there shaking their heads. Hope you're not watching this with your wife, because she's probably smacking you.
And if
you
take it financial, you know, you don't want to flood the market with something, you know. Don't flood the market with the pussy, man, you know.
Dropping science, son, right there.
DC,
don't flood the market.
Don't flood the market with the stuff in the trailers,
keep
man.
Keep the titties back.
That's right.
DC,
keep them covered, man.
Keep them covered. And then when we pay our money, and we're going to, because we're going to see them.
We're
going to
be there.
You make sure they're the best damn titties we've ever seen.
Exactly. Give us our money.
Just give us the best titties we've ever seen. That's all we want.
And then it'll be a good Thursday.
It'll be a good fucking Thursday.
That's right.
All right. Superman and father scene. I've heard people say
people are killing me with this.
I know.
Man. Come on.
It's like I bet there's some people out there, Sam, that think in the very beginning of the film when young Bruce fell into the cave and the bats were fucking lifting him up. I bet people still think that like that wasn't a dream, even though he said it was a dream.
Can Batman fly?
Are the bats? Are there so many bats in there? They're racing him off the ground.
That would be awesome. I would pay for that ride.
Fuck me.
That would be awesome.
So okay, Superman is the Congress has blown up with him in it. And oh, you know what we didn't talk about is Jimmy Olsen. You know that was fucking Jimmy Olsen that
died at the beginning.
That died in the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
The cameraman.
Yeah, that was
Jimmy
Olsen.
Worked for the CIA, I guess.
And he's done. Like, yeah. I blinked and missed Jimmy Olsen.
And the girl's name is Jenny Olsen.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, the one from Man of Steel that was trapped. And,
the dark haired chick.
Yeah.
She's kind of cute.
Yeah, that's Jenny Olsen.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right. So, spoiler alert, Jimmy dies. Yeah. But anyway, so Superman. It's basically like, humans suck, Lois. I'm fucking out. Done. And he leaves, and he's walking this fucking mountain, which I don't know if it's Everest or where it is. It's probably someplace people can't go. Which, Superman's still bundled up, and it's still kind of strange to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, like, that motherfucker could wear a tank top, probably. Right. I mean, though, look, I guess he don't want to draw attention to himself no matter
what.
He
probably didn't want to show off the titties that quickly.
Yeah, right, see? But you did it backwards. But right. Lesson learned. But I thought it was a great scene. I thought Kevin Costner was fucking incredible in Man of Steel for the amount of time that he had.
Yeah.
His scenes just touched me, you know, which I have a close relationship with my father. So, like, you know, when he's going, what should I do, Dad? Let those kids die, when he saved them on the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Costner's like,
Maybe.
I was like, whoa, fuck. This ain't the Superman I grew up with. Right. I knew right then this movie was going to be totally different than anything I'd seen. So, but, you know, what that was is, I'm going to tell you what it was. I've never heard Zack Snyder say this or anything, but what it was is he's walking, clear his head, soul search, whatever, and he's remembering of a tale that his father told him when he was alive about the horses dying and him being the hero and eating the hero cake while the whole time the floodwaters that they diverted went to another farm and wiped out that farm. So it's kind of like, I have one world, son, and that was your mom. Again, setting up the Lois Clark connection. Yep. So basically, he's like, if you don't do it for everyone, do it for her.
Yeah.
And that's about the time that Luthor throws her off the fucking building and Superman catches her.
Yeah. I want to know, how good is hero cake? That shit has got to be the best fucking cake ever, right? Like, I saved the day and I'm eating this cake.
Hero cake, yeah.
Hero cake, yeah. Fuck.
I've saved some people. I've never had a fucking hero
cake.
You
have. Well, maybe next time you should get some hero cake.
But I might have a fucking Jonathan moment where I'm eating my hero cake and me saving that dude, he went out and molested another kid. Because, just full transparency, the first guy I ever saved out of a burning building, his fucking hair was on, his head was on fire like Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider shit.
And I pulled him out. He ended up being this huge fucking pedophile. Ugh. I ended up finding a box of pictures with little boys in it and everything.
Oh,
I'm like, what
shit.
The fuck? I'd have pushed that motherfucker back in there if I'd have known. But right. So I saved a pedophile. So maybe I was eating my hero cake while he was out molesting another kid.
Yeah, that's your
kid.
Kevin Costner
That's
moment.
My Kevin Costner
so
moment.
So see, this shit is realistic, people.
See?
Zack Snyder.
Snyder knows shit,
yeah,
you
come
all.
Come on, man.
Come on. All right, so but I like the scene. Did you get that?
Yeah,
when you first
it was clearly Superman going almost like on a, you know, like a spiritual quest.
Walkabout.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
clearing his head. You know, I thought we might get a glimpse of the Fortress of Solitude.
Oh yeah,
I thought maybe we're gonna get a little glimpse of that or something. You know, and he just thinking, what do I want to do? You know, I'm in this dilemma where I could and I feel like I should save these people, but I'm getting shit on the other hand. You know, what should I do? And then, you know, he remembers this story and these philosophies that his dad's taught him. Everyone that's like, was that really Kevin Costner? Come on, man. Like, yeah, he was sitting out there in Everest or whatever, hanging out, just waiting for his son to come.
Building like a little rock pile.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like a grave or something. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I don't
was.
Know either, but yeah, come on. I
you mean, can't argue
you
be, stupid.
You gotta be right. You gotta be a little more intelligent than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought it was a great scene.
It was.
I totally got it. All right. Now the big throwdown. One of the things that we said in our preview show is we have to have a definitive winner of the throwdown.
Yeah.
And we got it.
Sure got it. Yeah, Batman won that shit.
Batman won that shit.
Yeah.
What for Lois, Batman probably have a kryptonite spear in his fucking
yes,
dome.
Superman would be you know, stuffed.
Super dead.
Stuffed in the bat cave. You know, he's like, I need a.
Right
I
next
need
to
a,
the penny and shit.
Yeah, the T-Rex and then a taxidermed Superman, you know. That,
yeah.
Boy, Alfred would hate that job, wouldn't
Man.
He? Which, by the way, Jeremy Irons was awesome as Alfred.
So awesome.
Yeah,
cannot wait to see more of him in a solo movie.
He was
movie.
One of my favorite parts.
Yes.
He kicked ass.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, we got a clear-cut winner, you know.
The fight scene was awesome.
Fight scene was great.
Seen a lot of it in the trailers.
Even in the giant armor, I thought, you know, Ben Affleck moved very smoothly and fluidly.
Oh, he could, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I mean, we got the Dark Knight Return stuff where he caught the, you know, it was a canister instead of an arrow.
Another scene from the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, and it let out the kryptonite.
Yes.
You know, so many cool moments, you know.
It really was, man.
And Superman wasn't trying to kill him.
Not trying to kill him. And that's a great, I'm glad you brought that up because that I've heard that. Like, man, Superman needs to stop trying to fucking kill people. He was going to kill Batman. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He could have killed him easily. He even says that.
Yeah.
If I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already.
Yeah.
He was trying to talk to him, and Batman was already in a fever pitch. I mean, he was ready to just fucking go to war.
Yeah, and that's even after he hit him with kryptonite. You know, Superman still was like, we could talk about this. This is what's going on. If I wanted to kill you,
right,
you'd be dead. You know, he obviously wasn't trying to kill him. Like, that again, come on, people. Like, you should be able to get that.
You should be able to get that. Yeah, I mean, he says it.
Yeah.
He says it.
And the only blow he really gives, you know, essentially he throws him down once and he kind of pushes him once.
Kind of pushes
that's
him
it.
Once.
That's
yeah.
not
Never
someone.
Hits him.
Yeah, that's not someone trying to kill somebody.
Right. Well, you know? In Hush, Batman makes the statement that could Superman squish me into a cement wall if he wanted to? Yes. Will he? No. Because deep down, Clark is a good person. The reason I'll win is because I'm not.
Right, and you talked about that on the preview show.
Right.
And that clearly came out.
Again,
that's Zack Snyder grasping the source material that these other people
exactly.
you know, have said he doesn't get, which
right.
is asinine.
Yeah, it's totally asinine. Now, Jason Mewes has said that he's really surprised that Superman fell for the kryptonite grenade again, or the kryptonite arrow. And I'm like, again. Well, when Superman's when he throws Batman through the wall and he takes off flying towards him, Batman's loading the canister.
Yeah.
Which Batman should already had that loaded because it's like a grenade.
Yeah.
You know, like a grenade launcher. Why wouldn't it already in there? But he's loading it as Superman's flying out. Superman's already weakened by kryptonite.
Right.
He probably doesn't. He's never really been affected by kryptonite before, so he's probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he probably thought he could get to him before, and Batman, you know, of course, got him again with the kryptonite grenade.
Last second.
Yeah, the last second. So I'm like, it wasn't, he didn't fall for him. I mean, it wasn't like he tricked him. It was, shit, I'm slower than I think I am, or than I thought I was, and he got me again. So,
yeah
I thought it was a great, a really cool fight scene. And I guess in that, we'll go to Martha's Boys.
Yeah.
Which I'll be the first to admit that I never
me neither.
Put that together.
Me neither.
So kudos to fucking Zack Snyder. If you don't give him credit on anything, and I know there's going to be motherfuckers out there who are not honest with themselves, they're going to go, oh, fuck, everybody knew that. I never put that together.
I never did either.
I've been a Batman Superman fan for 30-something years and never put it together. Until he's got his foot on his neck and he says, Martha, why did you say that name?
Yeah.
And,
it was like an aha moment. You know, I was like,
Yeah. And how many times does a movie give you that?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, people, one of the arguments you heard was,
yeah, why would just, you know, by them having the same name, that caused Batman to stop fighting. And again, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, come on, people, that's not what happened. Obviously, that's the moment that shocked him. Wait a minute, why'd you say my mom's name? That's what stopped him initially, that gave him that second. But what it is, you know, Batman doesn't trust Superman because he's not a human, you know? And that comes across very clearly in this movie.
He says it to him several times.
And he says, you know, men are brave. You're not brave. You know, today you learn what fear feels like. Today you learn what it feels like to be a man. Things like that. Well, at that moment, he realized Superman is much more human than he thought he was. Superman's upset and worried about his mother. What human can't identify with that, you know? Right. That's what caused Batman to be Batman.
Right.
You know, was his mom, you know, being in danger, killed.
Sure.
And now Superman's mom in danger. So it humanized Superman to Batman. He understands him now.
Well, and what gets me is the same people that are bitching about that are also bitching about the opening scene where, the Waynes are killed. And let me address that, too, real quick, because people are like, we all know how Bruce Wayne became Batman. We don't need to see that shit. There's motherfuckers out there that don't know. So you can't, I mean, even though Zack Snyder did make a movie for comic book fans, there's still some people that are not going to know the story.
Yeah.
And it was a very short.
That's what I'm saying. It was like
5 minutes? 6 minutes? Maybe?
I wouldn't even say it was that long.
But he also threw in the Martha, like his dad saying Martha at the end. So he said it. He gave you the breadcrumb in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And, like you said, the aha moment, like, oh, fuck. It's all coming around now. The plot points don't go nowhere.
Right.
They hit me pretty fucking good.
Yeah, and that's what the rest of those are going to happen. You know, is going to happen with the rest of them, too. Like Nightmare and everything.
Right. But, yeah, like you said, him saying Martha's when it gave Batman back his humanity. Because one of the things we said we needed to happen was the Batman timeline. And we've realized Batman has been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, and there's a moment where he tells Alfred, we're all criminals.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's changed.
How many people have stayed good?
How many people have kept
their promises?
Right. Yeah, so Batman he's really become jaded over the years. And I think him seeing this guy that he viewed as an alien, as someone that wasn't even a man, they got more in common than what he thought.
Exactly.
Then he realizes Superman's being duped by Luthor.
Right.
And it's fucking game on.
Yeah.
It's fucking game on. Like, they're super friends after that moment. You know what I mean? So, I thought that was a great moment in the movie for me. I know you liked it as
Yeah,
well.
What a good way to make those two connect, you know?
Yeah. It's especially not see it coming.
Right. Well, because we know Batman and Superman are friends. Like, you know that from the comic books, you know, from everything. So we have to get into that point. And how do you connect, you know, a billionaire playboy that by night, you know, stomps out crime and an alien, you know?
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to say this. And light bulb, I just now thought of this. They've actually did that better in Batman versus Superman, making them two have a moment to where you can tell they might be bonded now forever. If Superman had lived, even still, we know he comes back. We're going to get to that. But Civil War, like, that's kind of my big thing. Civil War was one of my favorite comic book storylines because it pitted Tony and Cap against each other. Tony and Cap, for the guys that know the comic books, are very good friends. Mm-hmm. A lot like Bats and Supes. They both respect each other for who they are and have developed a brotherhood, a warriorhood, if you will, over the years. I feel like the Marvel movies, we've seen Tony and Cap argue in every movie.
Constantly.
So, they're going to fucking fight, but it does look like Civil War in the trailers. They're kind of giving them moments where they might be bonding over some different things. I don't know. But
kind of the end of Age of Ultron, I thought you started to get that a little bit when he was like, you know, I'm going to miss you. And
just a little bit.
Right at the end.
But before that.
Nothing.
Well, they're chopping the wood.
Yeah.
Cap's chopping the wood, and Tony's like, I don't trust him in the dark side. Well, maybe you ain't seen it yet. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus Christ, Tony. You know, give the guy a fuck. He's in cap shit all the time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, have we seen them bond? Yeah. I mean, I feel like that this was successful in having them relate
to
each
other. Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. You know, how else could you bring those two people together?
Right.
You know, what a great way to do it. And especially two guys who have been, you know, Batman fans or whatever for 30 years, and we never even put it together. You know,
I
thought it was awesome.
Awesome. All right, we got to talk about Doomsday. Doomsday's the look. I think it kind of goes back to a lot being crammed in. I understand why they did it, because this is launching the Justice League movie, so they obviously had to have Doomsday in to take out Superman, so something could bring the league together.
Well, you have to have a big enough threat for Superman and Wonder Woman now.
Right,
you know?
Right. Exactly. And it's kind of hard to get a Justice League together when you got Superman flying around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I understand why they had to have Doomsday. Now, what I don't understand is, why did he have to look like he did?
Well, tell him what you thought he looked like.
I thought he looked like the orcs, in the first Lord of the Rings, the ones that, like, the big bastard orcs, where they come out of the fucking shit, and they're, like, all jacked up, and they got the fucking snarling teeth. Like, that look where he's coming out of the goo looked just like Doomsday did when he come out of the glue, and he's roaring, he's got the little pointy teeth and shit. I was like, holy shit. I would love to see a side-by-side of those two, which I know people have done the side-by-side with him and the Goonies guy.
Oh, the Truffle Shuffle. the villain guy.
Yeah. I've actually never seen
the Goonies.
Oh, my God.
That's a long story.
Holy shit. That's like one of my wife's favorite movies.
It's a long story.
But he looks a lot like that guy. He looks a lot like a lot of creatures we've had. You didn't mind it so much.
Yeah, it threw me off at first, but I thought once he got hit with the nuke and the crystallization happened, everything, he looked kind of a little bit more like the comic book character.
Yeah.
I thought he looked really cool after that.
Yeah.
Beforehand, he didn't look so good.
No.
He didn't look so good.
But now, being a comic book fan, the character of Doomsday, he evolves.
Right, which is exactly what happened.
He's constantly evolving. So maybe this isn't the last version of Doomsday we've seen. I kind of hope it is, but
he's not a great character.
He's not a great character. It's he's just kind of mindless, and I didn't even really like the death of Superman that well because Doomsday sucked.
Yeah,
I thought
it's not that good.
Doomsday, I think, could have looked better for a movie where everything looks so fucking good. Superman looks so good. Just the imagery, the shooting, the angles, everything looks so good. And then you got Doomsday. He just didn't fit in, really, with that style of movie.
I could agree with that. I do want to say that I loved kind of the teamwork fighting between Superman and Wonder Woman against Doomsday. Where she came and, knocked his legs out, which flipped him up. He came down from the sky, hit him in the chest. Stuff. That stuff was awesome.
That was awesome.
And that just
like
made
they immediately had this synergy.
Yeah, and it made me yearn to see the
Justice League.
Exactly, see everyone move together. So,
oh, yeah. That's
so that
be,
was cool.
Yeah, you could see Flash maybe disorienting a villain, and then Wonder Woman comes in low, Soup comes in high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The possibilities are endless.
Right.
But that was really cool. Another cool part about the Doomsday fight is, we've talked about this earlier, I got a kick out of it. She's very 300-ish.
Yeah.
I'm a big Zack Snyder fan, so 300 was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's in my top five of all time. Still is. But when Doomsday smacks her, and she goes sliding, and she smiles like, oh,
I've got a worthy opponent.
Yeah, we can redo this, So I got a kick out of that. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Still didn't steal the fucking show, people, so calm down.
But again, that's Zack Snyder knowing the characters, because that's 100% Wonder Woman.
100% Amazon warrior princess.
Yeah.
Yes.
But again, he doesn't know the characters.
Yeah,
know?
Right. Yeah. Well, Zack Snyder needs to be stopped. I'm going to smack the next person that says that. but we keep it positive for the most part.
Which is a little bit of slap.
I positively slap him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, and you brought up a point that one of the criticisms you heard was Batman kind of stood around during the Doomsday fight.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few people. Well, Batman didn't really do a whole lot with Doomsday there. And it's like, well, one, what would you really want Batman to do against Doomsday? You know, I mean, that's why there's a Justice League. If Batman could dispatch of every single enemy ever,
right,
you wouldn't need Justice League. You just need Batman.
Right. Okay. Right.
There's some villains, you know, that are out of his league because sure, he's a normal person, which is why we love him. But he did still play that cat and mouse game to make Doomsday follow him.
Distracting.
While Superman was able to go get the kryptonite spear and save Lois.
Right.
So that's a pivotal point, you know, and he still hit him, you know, with the kryptonite shot, which weakened him enough that Superman was able to get to him with the kryptonite spear and stab him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he didn't play a role. He just wasn't in there going toe-to-toe with him. Which he can't.
He can't. But that's what Batman does. Exactly. He's calculating. And that was one of the things we said we needed to see in our previous show was, we need to see the master tactician. So what Bats did was, he knows his role. He's going to wait for the opportunity. He's got maybe one of those, because he's got one left. He used two against Superman. Yep. He had the spear, and he had one canister left. So he's got to have the right opportunity. Boom. As soon as Doomsday's dazed, he fucking hits him with it. And again, it weakened him. Now, this is one thing we didn't have down that we need to talk about, because it touched me. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Superman needs to be, he needs to be the light. He needs to be the hope. I thought the scene where he gets the spear, for one thing, he risks his life to get the spear.
Mm-hmm.
Very well could have ended him there. He gets the spear. He comes out of the water. And he basically, he's watching Wonder Woman fight him and Doomsday. And he's like, there's only one person that can do this. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to kill me. And he tells Lois he loves her. Like, as much as Lois is his world, he's still sacrificing himself for humanity. Well, maybe sacrificing himself for Lois, too. Because Doomsday would just kill everybody.
Yeah, well, you think about sticking with the Jesus or messianic motif they've given Superman now for two movies. Jesus died
to save us.
Yeah, to save, you know, save people according to the Christian, you know, religion. And so, if you put that same thing onto Superman, now Superman has died to save people.
Right.
You know, it's more physical than it is spiritual, which, you know, Jesus would be the more spiritual thing. But it's the same parallel.
Right.
That's exactly what he did. Is people are like, oh, well, I didn't see Superman do anything heroic in this movie. He wasn't the symbol of hope and things like this. He died for you.
He died for you.
It's the same thing Jesus did, supposedly. Yeah.
He comes back, so he forgave us.
Yeah, exactly.
He forgives us. Then he says, I'm going to sacrifice my life for everybody.
Yeah.
And he does. And, you know, the first time he hits him, and then Doomsday stabs him, it's not done yet.
No.
Supes had to find another gear.
Yeah, and shove it through.
Again, maybe he couldn't have did that if Batman hadn't weakened him.
Exactly.
So it was a team effort.
Well, that's
for sure.
My thing is that, you know, if Batman hadn't hit Doomsday with that canister, Doomsday was at full force, essentially, and Superman's super weakened from holding that kryptonite spear.
Yes.
He's moving much slower.
Yes.
You saw his flight was a little unsteady.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, if Batman doesn't hit Doomsday with that kryptonite to weaken him, there's no way Superman gets in on him like that.
Right.
You know?
No way.
So, and people forget, Batman's main training is ninjutsu.
Right.
Which is simply sitting back, waiting in the shadows for the opportune time, and then striking. Which is exactly what he did.
So,
don't tell me Batman didn't do anything.
The character.
Right. No, Batman couldn't have gone in and toe-to-toe, you know,
parried
a punch and hit him with an uppercut or something, you know.
Well,
that's crazy.
The same people that are arguing that or saying that, he didn't do shit against Doomsday, are the same people going, how can he fight Superman?
Right.
He can't beat Superman.
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't fight Doomsday. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
Shut the fuck up. Be smarter than that, people. All right. Bruce Wayne's statement at the funeral. I thought, now this is not a plot, I guess, the reason I want to bring it up is because I guess if we have a theme to this show, it is Zack Snyder has planted seed after seed after seed of events to come. These so-called plot points don't go anywhere.
Right.
So I wanted to talk about what Bruce says, and you had you brought it up about the scene in Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting that at the end of Dark Knight Returns, you know, Batman has faked his death. He's buried. Superman standing over his grave at the funeral,
right.
And he hears that, you know, single heartbeat, and he kind of smirks and knows Batman's not dead.
Right.
He walks away, lets him do his thing. And now you've got that exact flip, that juxtaposition where Batman's standing over Superman's grave. You know, does he know he's dead? I don't know. And then you see the little bit of dirt rise up to let you know Superman's not quite as dead as we think he is. You know, but it's just awesome that Zack Snyder took that exact scene from Dark Knight Returns and gave it to us.
Flipped it.
You know,
yeah.
I think that's really cool.
That's so cool. That's a great point to make, because I didn't even realize that until you said it, which, again, another moment from the comic book that Zack gave
us. So two guys that are huge comic book nerds, like, you know, like we obviously are, who have been reading comics for 30-plus years and stuff like that, and we're not seeing that stuff, but yet Zack Snyder, who doesn't know these characters at all, is able to pull this stuff out. Yeah. So I don't know how he does it.
I guess he's just getting lucky.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it, man.
You're getting lucky, Zack. I don't know how you can keep doing this, man.
Play the lotto, Zack.
Play the lotto. You're a lucky bastard.
Yeah, probably don't need to.
But yeah, no, not after this one. Making a gazillion dollars, even though people say it sucks. But Bruce's, I really liked Bruce's statement at the end where he says, "I failed him in death. I failed him in life. I won't fail him in death.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of a reemergence, if you will, of maybe a new Batman.
Yeah.
Like the Batman that everybody's wanting him to be, I guess, the people that don't like this Dark Knight Batman, maybe this is going to be a new Batman that this guy has such a profound effect on him that he might change.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the Dark Knight Returns Batman. So, but if there's a reason for him to change, I'm all for that too.
Yeah.
Superman's death is going to be a profound thing, especially for somebody who knew him as intimately as Bruce did.
Maybe Superman was a symbol of hope for Batman too.
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely. He should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. But and again, another seed planted when he tells Wonder Woman, "We need to find others like us," which I think he means like her, because no one's really like him. But anyway.
Right. They'll fight.
Yeah, right, right. And she's like, "Well, what if they don't want to be found?" They will be. What do you mean? Why do you think they'll fight? Because they'll have to.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I just got a hunch." So, again, you know, again, setting up the Justice League. That's a pretty obvious seed drop there. But I thought that was worth mentioning again, because I heard some people say the funeral scene was too long. And I'm like, geez, man. You know?
Yeah, what do you want?
What do you want? I mean, you've got all this stuff to do. He did it in two and a half hours. And I'm hearing people that are supposedly movie directors say, man, they really could have edited this better. They could have got rid of 30 minutes.
Right, but yet, again, the Titanic was 3 hours. You know, it actually...
They won a fucking Oscar.
The Titanic movie was longer than it took the actual Titanic to sink, which is true.
Right, right.
But yet that movie was edited in time perfectly, but yet this movie that's shorter, you know, was too long.
Come on. Yeah, and yeah. Not saying it couldn't have been trimmed in places, but I really don't know what you would have trimmed.
Yeah.
I think if you had trimmed something, it would have lost something. Like Age of Ultron, where they took out the Waters of Sight
scene with Thor. Yeah.
If they had kept that scene in there, it would have made so much more sense.
So much more sense, yeah.
But, you know, Joss Whedon has made that very clear, that the studio was like, you're losing something, you're losing the farm scene with Hawkeye, you're losing the Waters of Sight, and he chose the Waters of Sight because the Hawkeye scenes were important to him. So, but again, I thought our preview show pretty much hit it.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the one thing
we did a good job.
Good job. You did a good job.
Thanks, man. I can't reach my back, so
yeah. Superman being a symbol of hope. I said it were a brighter suit. I really wanted the colors that were so muted, Man of Steel, wanted to be brighter and pop. Really didn't do that.
No.
But the story was more important for me than the aesthetic. Because honestly, I couldn't want any more from the look of this movie.
Beautiful.
Cinematically just fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Orgasmic cinematography. And we really didn't get a difference between Metropolis and Gotham, other than Gotham's got a lot of uninhabited places for big monsters to fight.
I saw a lot of people complain that Gotham and Metropolis were so close. Mm-hmm. And people were like, I pictured Metropolis kind of like by Chicago and Gotham, by New York City and stuff. It's like, I mean, you can arbitrarily pick whatever you want to, you know. That's I don't think that's ever been addressed.
No, so I don't think it ever has.
I didn't think it was a problem.
Kevin Smith said that he felt like it really shortened the DC universe. Like, it made it a lot smaller with them just being like sister cities.
Yeah, but why? I mean, you could have Central City and Star City being all the way over there, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a fantastic point. Yeah. Nitpick. That's nitpicking shit right there. I would have loved, we got a solo Batman movie coming, so there's still a needs and want list there too. But how badass would it have been for fucking Batman to have been hanging off a gargoyle or something in this movie? I mean, of all the images that we got, that's one that I really wish we could have got, but we didn't. But
I'm really hoping that in the R-rated version, it's like 30 minutes longer. It's 30 minutes more of Batman.
I do,
like,
too.
That's what I'm really hoping.
I really hope so. Affleck killed it.
He did. I had someone ask me, was he the best Batman? And it's hard for me because on one hand, Bale gave you three great movies. Mm-hmm. You know, Affleck's only given us one so far, but I will take Affleck's one versus any one of Bale so far.
You know what? I was thinking about that the other night, and you know how much I love Batflack. I think it's fucking phenomenal. But I remember the first time I see Batman Begins, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Just loved the story. Loved the whole origin story of Batman, like the year one Batman stuff like we all love. Frank Miller again, people, for those of you who didn't know that, he wrote the Batman Year One, which was kind of what that Batman Begins was based off of. So, I do agree. Give me Ben over Bale any day. Give me Ben over Keaton. Give me Ben over anybody.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I'm really excited. This movie's got me pumped for more DC movies.
Yeah, which is what it needed to do more than anything.
And that was on our list. It needs to be a launch pad for the DCU. Not only just introduce us to characters, but to make us want to see more. It's like a good comic book. Like I've always say, a good first issue of a comic book, it can be good, it can be slow. It just makes me want to have to buy more.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, Tokyo Ghost was like that, which we're both, he turned me on to Tokyo Ghost. It's not something I would have bought. And he's like, man, you got to get this. I read the first issue and I'm like, holy shit, I wanted to know more. And I knew there was so much more coming. So I thought this movie did that. I thought it was great. One thing we didn't talk about, out of all the little vignettes on the Justice League drive, Cyborgs to me was the best.
Oh, with the mother box?
Holy shit.
Well, that was horrific too.
And it was, man, you want to talk about dark.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That might have been the darkest thing in the whole movie.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, that was just like, what the fuck? And then he starts screaming.
Screaming as your arm and one of the legs comes out and stuff. Yeah, that was.
But man, we got to see a fucking mother box.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, the studio is the one that released that deleted scene, which is really kind of strange. But they released the deleted scene where Lex is in the ship, in the waters, and there's this creature being. I heard it was Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Steppenwolf.
No, not from the comic books. Not the classic Steppenwolf.
Not the classic Steppenwolf. But it looks like he's got these mother boxes.
Yeah.
And then they just disappear when the guards come in to get Luthor. But I don't know if that's when he learns that Darkseid or Darkseid's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I was like, holy shit, man. We seen a mother box.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just fucking crazy.
It was awesome.
Man. This movie was. Go see it for yourself.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't even listen to us because we don't know shit either. But I felt like we needed to do the show for me and my psyche, if nothing else, because I'm so sick of seeing the reviews. I'm so sick of people giving the reviews that don't know these characters, that didn't get the movie. You don't have to like what I like or what Sam likes, but at least have a reason and be objective about it. And we were lucky enough to talk to some people, obviously, that had preconceived notions, and they were like, "Hey, I was wrong. I was wrong about Gail Godot. I was wrong about her.
Yeah.
You know, I was wrong about a lot of stuff in this movie, and I'm glad I was fucking wrong. So, but great movie. Can't wait to see what comes next. Out of all the movies, like let's take Batman out of it. Let's not talk about slow movies because we know we're going to fucking see those. Out of Aquaman, Flash, and Wonder Woman, and Cyborg, what solo movie, what rate them?
Rate them as far as the one you want to see most?
The one that you got to see it.
I think it's got to be Aquaman, number one.
Okay.
And I think my reasoning is because I think Aquaman is a character that's going to be the hardest to pull off.
Yeah.
And so I really want to see how they do it. Because I think they are going to pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see how they do that.
Yeah. I'm just like you. I really hadn't thought about it until just now. And I was like, Aquaman's a key. I'm a big Jason Momoa fan.
Well, and how cool could all those underwater scenes look with the different creatures they could have under there and Atlantis and everything. Visually, that movie should be stunning.
Stunning. It really should be. I'm curious how they would do it. Of course they're going to use a lot of green screen stuff, but I wonder if they build some underwater sets and stuff.
Yeah, build some
fucking
scales
awesome.
And everything. Yeah.
But that would be great. I'll tell you the movie that really kind of creeped up on me the more I got thinking about it, and it was because of that little vignette, the ham-fisted vignettes that we've seen. Cyborg.
Yeah, he's number two for me.
He's number two. I'm like, holy shit. I remember being a kid and getting Cyborg number one. And, you know, his story is, you know, he was a high school athlete, all-state running back, this thing, and college scholarship. His dad was never home because he was a scientist, and he was in a horrific car accident, and his dad had to save his life. And I remember, you know, I was playing sports at the time, and I just kind of related to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I loved Cyborg. I loved the Teen Titans. Which he was a member of the Teen Titans before he was a member of the Justice League. So, as much as awesome as Wonder Woman was, I'm more excited to see those two movies.
Oh, yeah. I do think I'll put Wonder Woman above Flash. And my only reason is because I think the Flash TV show is so good. I've already got some Flash, you know, so I'm not yearning for it as much.
TV
show's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very tied into that character.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great, and that's going to be hard shoes to fill. And he doesn't look anything like I would think Barry Allen would look like.
And that's why I'm wondering if it's not going to be
might not be Barry Allen.
Yeah, Earth 2 or something.
Wally West.
Wally's a black kid, you know. And
well,
then,
I mean, this guy's kind of ethnic looking.
Yeah, ethnic.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. It'll be interesting. Know. And I'm still interested to see which Green Lantern they're going to choose. You know, I've heard Hal Jordan on one hand. I've heard John Stewart on another hand.
I have
you
heard
know?
John Stewart.
So,
yeah. I don't know if he's going to be probably Justice League. Eventually he is, but you know they're doing a Shazam movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So with Rock being Black Adam, my God, how fucking awesome is all that sound?
That should be cool.
It all depends on who they get on these movies.
Of course.
They could get a stinker like the guy that did the Fantastic Four movie, and it just fucking suck. But I feel like with Nolan and Zack Snyder, it looks like they're going forth as executive producers on all these movies. Yeah. I know Zack's doing the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And hopefully it is
one
a little lighter.
Two.
Yeah, one and two. So hopefully it is going to be a little bit lighter.
And supposedly Affleck is doing the Batman, you know, directing and
directing,
everything.
And so that should all we were talking about this. He's not contracted to do a solo Batman movie, only the Justice League movies and this one.
DC, you need to make that happen.
Dude, so he obviously wrote this script with himself in mind.
Sure.
I guess it's just something that they haven't ironed out, maybe just like a contractual thing.
And plus, I think it would be jarring to have such a great character in this movie, and then obviously I'm assuming he's going to be great in Justice League 1 and 2.
Right.
And then just switch him right in the middle of this world building, you know.
Right, right.
We need some continuity.
Right, and I think that's what they're trying to do is build continuity.
Yeah.
But we already know Wonder Woman is going to be a period piece.
Right.
So it's going to be 100 years because she says she walked away 100 years ago. So.
But I'm wondering, does that mean Steve Trevor's going to be 100-something years old, or is he not going to be in this current universe?
I don't think he's going to be in this current universe. I think he's going to be in that original movie with her.
Yeah.
And then he might end up dying in that movie. Which maybe is what makes her walk away from humanity. We don't know why she walked away from humanity. Right. She just said she did. Basically because people fucking suck. If there's a theme to the Snyder movies, is people basically suck. So if you want to be a super person, you try to look the other way. And I guess that's probably a good note to end the show on.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's tough out there. We all know it is. Shit's going on everywhere around us, but the only person you really can control anything about is yourself.
That's right.
Be nice to fucking people. Hold a door open for somebody. Do something fucking nice for somebody out of the blue.
Don't give the pussy away like that.
And keep the titties hidden, y'all. Keep them titties hidden.
It's been a philosophical program.
It has been for the meatheads.
Yeah, I think Zack Snyder brought that out of us. Philosophical review show.
I think he did. Yeah. You know, I mean, I was having a fucking epiphanies. Multiple orgasms in this chair.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, holy shit, man. I just had another fucking great idea.
We're going to have to clean the screen off.
Well, I've got to. I just got a little thing in the.
All right, that'll work. That's cool.
But be nice to one another. Check out the BlazingDefenderReport.com. I do a comic book show as well. I buy comic books every week. Tell you what I thought was good. Tell you what I thought you could probably pass on. For somebody that doesn't know anything about comics, give it a watch. What I try to do is hit the high points of books. I've actually already reached some people, which is fucking pretty amazing. Yeah. I've made a couple buddies of mine comic book fiends now. They want to fucking they're buying everything. They're sending me shit on Amazon. Brian just found a copy of Old Man Logan and he's all excited, and I'm like, oh, that's a great deal. He got it for like $18, the hardback. The whole story. It's a great deal. So give me a listen. You might like it. You might think it sucks, but still check out Meatheads on Movies. We're gonna do another preview show for Civil War.
For sure.
Do a review show for Civil War. Probably do Suicide Squad. We'll probably do all the comic book movies, man, because this is what we do.
You never know what'll pop up. Maybe we'll do one on Hardcore Henry.
Maybe. Because I'm down with Hardcore Henry.
Oh, man, I'm trying to see that movie.
Oh, yeah, that movie looks fucking great. It does. It's going to be something you ain't never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
So, can't wait to see what the critics say about that bullshit. But for Big Sam, the Blazing Defender, Travis Jones, thank you guys for watching. 1 hour and 37 minutes. I knew it would be a long one. Glad you hung out. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you thought. We tried to do a little bit of different audio setup this week because some people said, you guys figured out about halfway through the show to talk into your mics. So we're trying to get a little bit better. We plan on continuing to do this, so always appreciate your feedback. Tell us a movie that you want us to review, and you never know, we might review it for you. We might not. We might say that's fucking stupid. We probably will, and maybe review it anyway and tell you it's fucking stupid. So, but thank you guys for watching. Remember, check out the URL on the Loot Crate, and subscribe. Please subscribe. That helps me out a lot. I'm on Blog Talk Radio now. This will be on Blog Talk Radio. The preview show's on Blog Talk. See how close we came. And like I said, give us your feedback. We'd love to have it. Big Sam, Blazing Defender, we're out, guys. See you later. Thanks a lot for listening.